We'll be fine.
Well, what about those people with their goddamn picket lines? They'll probably be out again.
They don't bother me except to piss me off. They'll let me by. Don't worry.
He supposed that, no, she was not about to be intimidated. Last week, going in for her examination, there had been 7 of them on the sidewalk by the entrance to the Jamaica Savings Bank, the building which housed the clinic and held its tenuous lease. 7 men and women standing behind blue police barricades, carrying cardboard signs saying, "He's a child, not a choice," and "Abortion is legalized genocide," and waving pamphlets and holding out tiny plastic 12-week fetuses cupped in the palms of their hands. One of them, a surprisingly handsome 40-ish man, shoved his own little specimen at Sarah's face, and Sarah turned on Greg's arm and said, "You stupid shit," and walked on by, past the 3 policemen lounging at the door who were guarding these creeps on his and her tax dollars, thank you very much, and into the building. Then this other one, this ordinary-looking woman about the same age as the man, who followed them to the elevator and up, and sat there with a magazine across from them in the waiting room, staring until Sarah's name was called, and then got up and left. A more subtle form of harassment. Were they even allowed to do that? They'd never said a word to her, though he'd wanted to, and she'd evidently known what he was thinking. "To hell with her," she'd whispered. "She's not worth the effort." She could deal with them. Still, he'd feel better if he was with her. "What's another minute or two?" he said. "Let me just park this thing and we'll go in together." She shook her head.
"Please, Greg, I want to get this over with as soon as possible, you know?"
"Okay. Sure, I understand."
But he didn't. Not really. How could he? For all the talk last night, it was impossible to gauge how she felt at just this moment. Not now in the light of day, far beyond the familiar comfort of home and bed, and the comfort of lying in his arms, and even the comfort of tears. He wanted to know suddenly, needed to know, that she didn't hate him, didn't blame him fundamentally, though twice last night she'd said she didn't, and he'd believed her. But now it was different. He wanted to know she forgave him for everything, for his marriage, for his son, even for his sex, for being born a man so that he didn't have to carry, couldn't possibly carry, the full weight of this. He'd have done it in a minute if it were possible. Her diaphragm had failed them. It happened sometimes. They were adults, and they knew that. It was her diaphragm. It didn't matter. He never felt so guilty in his life. "Do no harm," his mother had told him when he was a boy. The physician's rule. Her personal golden rule. And here he was, doing harm to the woman he loved. Still more harm. He could see it in the distance on the corner of 68th Street, a block and a half away, an undistinguished gray high-rise that was probably built back during the mid-60s. The bank on the first floor and offices above. Across Broadway, a food emporium and the huge Sony movie complex. And yes, there were the long blue sawhorses and the 2 cops standing at the door and people carrying signs walking back and forth along the curb. "Pull up behind them," she said. "I don't feel like getting out right in the middle of that."
He glided to a stop. She opened the door. He put his hand on her arm and stopped her. And then he didn't know what to say. He just sat there, moving his hand slowly over the warm, smooth flesh of her arm. And then she smiled a little. He saw the worry and sleeplessness that ambushed her just behind the smile. The eyes couldn't lie to him. They never had.
"I'll be just a minute," he said. "I can probably find something on 67th or over in Amsterdam."
"I'll be fine."
She got out and shut the door, and he watched her walk away toward the dozen or so people ahead of her, moving in circles curbside at the other end of the block, and then he pulled out slowly past her, and she glanced at him but didn't smile this time, only hitched her purse up on her shoulder. He passed the stern-faced, holier-than-thou types milling across the sidewalk like flies on a carcass, and then he turned the corner.
"Go on," she thought. "You have to do this. You've got no choice. He's got a wife and he's got a son. You knew that going into this."